Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining me. Very sort of impromptu, obviously, with the lack of football. I had time to have a look at this tournament. I was up early this morning. Got the good lady off to hospital later to have her staples out of her leg. So hopefully that will see a improvement in things home-wise as well as we go through this international break. Give me a nice time to get her running around again. She'll be out doing a marathon soon. We've got Bojo Boris on his thing this afternoon, bluffing and trying to laugh his way through it, talking bollocks. Police forces a mess. Country's a shambles. Inflation's rising. There we go. We'll cover all that at some time. Right, let's say some good mornings. Morning, Tony. Morning, Lonesome. Morning, Scott. Hope you're well. Morning, Benjamin, Dave, Jaster. Hello. Gooner's another day off. Anish, good morning. Neil Claxton, good morning. Alan Lee. Where's Arthur? Morning. Andrew Stead, good morning. Lovely to see you. So, yes, I'm just going to run through the tournament. It's a unique tournament. This is the last playing of it. I do hope that they resurrect it. Morning, Greg. Morning, Chris. It's match play as opposed to stroke play. So most golf tournaments are 72 holes, cut after two rounds, after 36 holes. And that gives time for the better players to rise to the top. This is what we call match play. Those of you members of golf clubs, other than your sort of monthly medals and things, this will probably be predominantly the golf that you play. It's 18 holes, and you win a hole, lose a hole, or half a hole, and you just go round until you've won more holes than are left for the guy to beat you. So you will see scores like 3 and 2, which basically means in the first 16 holes, I'm playing Suggsy, I've won three more holes than he has, and I'm three up, but there's only two holes to go. It's great format. It's the Ryder Cup format. That's where most of you will see it. But we're able to look at Scott's changing Zoom. We're able to, I'll just shut that down because that'll keep going. So just give me a second. We're able to bet on that, and you will get some surprises with it only being 18 holes. As I say, it doesn't quite give, we'll cover it, but doesn't quite give time for the cream to always rise to the top. If John Rahm, you give him 72 holes, he is going to often rise to the top as he's a lot better. But in 18 holes, anything can happen, particularly if somebody gets hot with the putter. If you have any questions as we go through, do ask. I'm in no massive rush, so I've got to leave till this afternoon for Sam's appointment. So if you've got any questions on stuff, we'll do the golf, but any questions after, feel free to ask. Right, let's get on the road. Let me get that screen back. There, just stop all those notifications coming up because they do distract me more than anybody else. And add that to the stream. Right, there we go. Right, so it is the World Match Play. It starts today. So we have 5 days of golf. The first 3 days are round robin knockout, and then we round robin group stages. Then we move into knockout over the weekend. It starts at 2:20 this afternoon. So if you get involved in anything here, which is at your own peril, then obviously bear in mind that once it starts, it may not become valid. Those odds will start to change as these players play their matches. So we have 64 players go to post, 16 brackets of four. It's basically the players are split into a bit like the World Cup, 16 groups of four, and they just play round robin. So you'll play everybody else in your group. You get a point for the win in the match, naught for a loss, half for a tie. The winner of the 16 groups then go into the round of last 16 on Saturday morning, which becomes straight knockout. Playing two rounds a day, Saturday morning, 16, quarterfinal Saturday afternoon, semi-final Sunday morning, and then the final Sunday afternoon. And there is a third and fourth place playoff. If after the group stages, players are tied, and there may be one, two, or even three players tied at the top of the table, they then play stroke play, knock out those players to determine who wins the group. And in the knockout, again, if they're tied after 18, they just keep going until we have a winner. It can be really exciting. It can be a very exciting tournament to watch. I like match play, and I do hope that after this one ends, they manage to get another one in. Scott has asked, will fitness come into this? It would if you were playing, my friend, but no, these guys are all athletes now. You know, they're all, they don't carry their own bags. They are all, it's not like us playing. The players are seeded, so Scheffler's the defending champion and the number one seed. Rahm is the second seed. McIlroy's third seed. Cantlay's fourth seed. So they're just seeded down. And obviously it's set up that exactly again like the World Cup, that ultimately one would meet two if all the seedings went to plan, but it doesn't go like that. And betting-wise on the exchange, very much with the seeding. So that's the exchange prices when I looked this morning. Scheffler's 10.5, Rahm at 15. McIlroy 18, Cantlay 18.5, and just as I say, Scheffler won last year, won a couple of weeks ago. Very much the man in form and a very good match player. Nothing seems to faze the lad, but that doesn't mean he's going to win this week. It's at Austin Country Club down in Texas, 7,100 yards, par 71. Pete Dye designed some quite tough golf courses. Pete Dye, Harbour Town Stadium course. It's on Lake Austin, and the back nine is very much around the lake, undulating fairways, and some pop bunkering. Should be a good, decent test. And the wind can blow here, and we are scheduled to have certainly for the group stages, the round robin stages, 25 to 30 mile an hour winds, and it should start to ease down for the weekend looking at the forecast. And we've got Bermuda grass, greens and fairways. Lee has asked, do you use an in-play model? I'm going to talk to a particular in-play strategy that I use, or a trading strategy that I use on the matches shortly, Lee. I don't tend to look at games in play and make decisions, because obviously golf, like football, anything can happen, a puck going from 20 feet, whatever. But there's a bet you can place pre-event and then trade. Nick has said, sorry for digressing, it's maybe something you'd want to address another session. With the golf, how do you advise we manage a bank around this in terms of staking and scaling? That's a fair point. Now, I will come back to that. What I'll do, I'll come back to that question nearer the end. Once we've gone through the tournament, I'll come back to that, because it is obviously when I started, I've traded golf now I've traded it on and off for a long time, but I've actually devoted time each week to it for the last 18 months, 2 years now. And obviously you guys have seen over time how I treat it. I never really knew what to do with it in regard to FTS, because obviously, you know, again, it comes down to following it. What do people want? Questions I ask all the time. I'm well aware that people like football bets and we get football every day. But the fact of that sort of it is once a week, I tend to only focus on the PGA Tour, not the European Tour. I wasn't sure whether there was that much of an appetite for it. And then obviously I did start sharing it, and you know, we're getting some rhythm up. We've had a good couple of weeks, 70% a couple of weeks ago, 50% if you were paying attention. And that's one of the key things with golf is obviously, from my point of view, advising it, because it's over 4 days, it is paying attention. You've got to be on the ball with what's going on. But we'll come back to the staking if people are going to do this a bit more properly. Good. See, I like questions like that. It's good. We will see, it's very easy in golf to form opinions on players. We will see surprises in the group stage. We always do, and we will see unfancy golfers progress. Plotting your way through they call them brackets in America, plotting your way through the brackets and paths where people try and predict who's going to win every group and then who's going to win the semi will pretty much prove a fruitless exercise. We can look back. It's been at this course since 2016, I think. And as for the winner, current form is often a strong indicator of winner. Going back to 2010, nobody new to the event has won it. So you do need, you know, the experience of match play and the heat of battle. It's very much mano a mano. Sort of golf I love, because you can get in somebody's head, wind them up. That's what I do to Suggsy. Drive him mad, get him too scared to hit a golf shot. He duffs it in the water and I win. But no debutants won it. And all the winners since 2010 have had a top 10 in their last four starts. So experience in the tournament, and current form tend to be very good. And obviously, Scheffler won it, has won recently. He's a worthy favourite, and he may well win this week. He may well do, but I'm not going to be backing him at 10.5 or whatever he is. So this is the bracket. So this is our groups of 16, groups of four that we've got. So Scheffler's up against Tom Kim, Norrin and Riley. That won't be easy. Tom Kim's perfectly good player. Norrin's got a really good match play record. He's got one of the best match play records in this event without winning it. Rahm, I think, has got a tough group. Again, I think Rahm's more suited to 72-hole match play, a 72-hole stroke play, rather. Horschel's a previous winner here. Fowler's coming into form. Mitchell's been decent. McIlroy's the one I'd want to take on if I was laying any of the top ones. New driver shaft in his driver. He's not been driving the ball well. He's changed his putter this week to a putter he's never used before. It's a replica of one he might use 10, 15 years ago. Complete change in shape. He's gone from a mallet head, which is sort of the round heads, to a blade, which are the long, thin ones. I think he's got his mind already on the Masters and that Grand Slam. He's just not playing well. He seems to be the spokesperson for the PGA Tour with all the kerfuffle with Liv. He's in front and centre and with the ball. I mean, he's come out and talked about the ball yesterday, the new rules. They're looking to change the golf ball and the PGA, or not the PGA Tour, the USGA and R&A PGA Tour need to adopt it or decide whether they're going to or refuse it. He's come out on the side of the rule makers there. So a lot going on, not playing well. I do think the shaft in the driver, he's not driven the ball well, which is one of his great strengths, and the putter. He's one I'd probably want to oppose in every match if I was doing that. Cantlay, Harman, Lee and Taylor. I think Cantlay has got a really easy group here, playing well. He's third at the Genesis, fourth the week after. He's one I like, and we'll get to that. Homer, Matsuyama, Kisner, and Benjamin's just said Kisner. Really good record here. Tough to beat. Matsuyama and Homer, obviously, you know, decent players. Homer really in good form the last 12 months. I do think Homer will get out of the group. You may see some surprise results there. Shuffle, Hoagie, Wise and Davis. I think Hoagie there is a dark horse. Don't think Shuffle. Again, I think he's a 72-hole stroke player. More than Hoagie, 62, was it, at Sawgrass a couple of weeks ago. Zalatoris, I think, has got a relatively reasonable path. I expect him to progress out of that group. Ryan Fox, good player, but we'll get to that. But more this side of the Atlantic. Harris English had one decent start. Putnam should be the whipping boy in that. Hovland, Kirk, Siwoo Kim, Kuchar. Kuchar's a finalist here. Again, another tough match player, good putter. So he won't be a walkover. And Chris Kirk, a recent winner. I'm not sure Hovland gets out of the group. The first player is the sort of fantasy player in the group, or the top seed in the group. Morikawa, Day, Svensson, Perez. Perez has won twice in the last 12, 18 months. Jason Day is coming back to form. Morikawa, again, another one. I don't think he's the strongest putter, great iron player, more suited to 72 for me. Finau, Kitayama. Kitayama won at the Genesis a couple of weeks back. I think it will be between these two, but not a walkover. Finau, the one thing for Finau, once he gets on the putter hot birdie train, you know, he takes some stopping. So he is one, I think, if he gets out the group, Finau will be a danger. Fitzpatrick, Thegala, Minwoo Lee and Spawn. Kyle Fitzpatrick, I think he's still got problems with his neck. I think Thegala and Minwoo Lee, one of these two, come out of this group personally. Both can be prolific birdie makers. Minwoo Lee going really well a couple of weeks back. Thegala, very underrated. And I think with Fitzpatrick's neck problems, going to struggle there. Spieth, Lowry, Montgomery and Hughes. I mean, Spieth can be anything. We saw that last week. You saw all sides of him last week. He nearly won at the Valspar. I'm going to make a statement and say Spieth doesn't get out of that group. I'm going to go with Montgomery to get out of that group. I'll come to some trades there. And why? Burns, Power, Scott, Hadwin. I think this is a really competitive group. I really like Sam Burns as a golfer. Seamus Powell's play there had some good results here. Adam Scott's always tough to beat, just a good solid golfer. And Hadwin's no mug, so I think that's a really open group. And I wouldn't be saying that Sam Burns definitely gets out of that. I think Seamus Powell's got a great chance, and Adam Scott on his day can be superb. This is a guy everybody's talking about, Hatton. They think, see, this is a pretty easy path through for him. I'm not so sure. Henley, you know, Henley's a patchy golfer, can be really good. Herbert's decent player. Ben Griffin's been playing really well. So a lot of guys, I think, on the golf tips checker, I think Hatton's had more tips than anybody else, but I'm not so sure. Young striker Connors and Thompson, again, I think really competitive. Connors, one I really rate, but doesn't seem to get over the line. So it'd be really interesting to see that, how that group develops. I don't think any of those are going to threaten winning it, though. And then Im, Fleetwood, Poston and McNeely. And I am all over Tommy Fleetwood to win that group. Putting is being his sort of weak link, but he's a fantastic match player. Really running into form, been up there the last few weeks. Gritty competitor. So that's sort of the overview of the groups, and how they pan out and how they play is like this. So this is basically our bracket layout. So you'll see this. If Scheffler wins, he will go through to play in or Fleetwood, Poston, McNeely. Morikawa would play the winner of this group and works through. So it's all in effect predefined. So people will do this where they'll fill it all in and plot it out. And invariably, I think people just get drawn to the better players. But I do think Fleetwood is capable of beating anybody up here at the minute. I do like Finau, as I say, if he gets through there. I don't fancy McIlroy down this side, so that opens that up. And I think that's why Hatton is being so strongly looked at down in the bottom right here. Because I don't think, you know, maybe this group, but I do think it will be out of there. So people try and plot it through. As I say, it's all predefined, the layout of where we're going to end up. And this is the format. So there are 32 matches a day starting today. So this first tee off time is 2:20 GMT this afternoon for the next 3 days. Now, obviously, we have to have a winner, but a good tactic in match play, and I do it in the Ryder Cup, but you can use it here, is to back the tie if you're going to trade these games. Again, you need to pay attention. This is something you can't just put them on and walk away because you're not going to make money doing it that way, but you can back the tie and then trade it, because a lot of these matches will be close coming into the back nine, and the price on the day will shorten up. People tend to automatically, because there's got to be a winner, get drawn to those winner markets, or back Rahm to beat so-and-so, back Rahm to beat Fowler or whatever it may be. So there's four matches there that I like the tie in today. Morikawa versus Perez at 9.2. Fitzpatrick, I've already spoken about my concerns with him. Fox versus English, I think they're really both capable of making birdies, sort of quite compatible. And Henley versus Herbert. And they're priced around 9.2. The Fox versus English is 9. Not a lot of liquidity on Betfair at the moment, but Bet365 and probably most bookmakers haven't really looked at the matchups. They've just been super lazy. They've priced every matchup at 8-1. The only one on Bet365 when I looked that wasn't was Power versus Scott, which obviously somebody must have had a bet on that, because they've cut it half a point to 15-2. There's no reason why that game would be shorter than any others, other than somebody's obviously backed the tie with Bet365. They decided to cut it a point. So you can back the tie in those games and then trade it, but you've got to have a clear plan. I recommend that you have a stop loss. So if you're going to lose a point, you get out. If you back it at 9, you're going to get out at double that. Or you have a Dobbs strategy. I wouldn't just leave it and see what happens. You need to pay attention to what's going on. But it can be a good match. And obviously, you can go away yourselves. And if you feel you've got golf knowledge, have a look at the matchups and see where you feel. But it can be. I've done really well in Ryder Cups doing this. And it's a good tactic for this. So we got four matches there that I like the tie as a trade. I'm not saying the match will be a tie. What I'm saying is I've got a plan that I can go in, back the tie, and then trade it in play. But make sure you're aware of the tee times when these matches are starting, any that you get involved in, so you can keep an eye on the market, follow the match in play, watch it on TV, whatever it may be. And then obviously once we've had two matches, Wednesday, Thursday, we get to Friday, we will have players then who've already qualified because they've won their first two matches. You'll have players who can't qualify, but it's a good day on Friday, and perhaps I might jump on, do another one, or post in the Telegram group when we see the state of play and prices. It can be a good day to back outsiders in the individual matches, because it tends to be there's a bit of an overreaction to those who've qualified. People jump on that bandwagon. And as I say, you always get these games where there's shocks and the outsiders win. So you tend to get a bit of an inflated price on Friday. And there are prize money incentives this year. It's not, it used to just be if you got knocked down the group stages, you got a set fee. Now it's on your record. So those players on Friday still have something to play for to get more prize money, even if they've lost their first two matches. You know, that somebody who loses two wins one is going to get more money than somebody who loses three games. So I think Friday we will be having another look at the tournament and see the matchups on Friday. It's our first sort of only time in golf that we get the sort of 1x2 market, which we can sort of apply some sort of football trading mentality to. So I do like that tactic of back in the draw or back in the tie. This is one that you can do. And I'm not saying, as I say, these matches will be tied. I'm not going to say they're going to go my way. They're the four that I like today, personally. For the outright, I've got four players that I like that I'm going to back pre-event. I'm going to back Cantlay. I think he's not got a difficult route. I think he's a fantastic putter, very good putter, very gritty. He's got the trend form. He's had a recent third and fourth in the last few weeks. I think he is the value of the sort of four top seeds. Right, let's just go back to that. What am I backing? So there, what am I backing? I'm back. Sorry, Tony's asked a question. I'm going to go back a slide. And then I'll go there. And then there. Right, could you explain how to back the tie? So if you go to Betfair, if you go over to Betfair, I can't share this screen, unfortunately, because it's a separate one. But if you go to Betfair, go to golf, click on PGA Tour World Match Play, you will have all today's games listed. So you'll have a big, long list. So, for example, Patrick Cantlay, Nick Taylor. If we click on that, you've got three options. You have got Patrick Cantlay at 1.65, Nick Taylor at 3.3, and the tie at 9. So what I would say is that you back the tie at 9, and then obviously, if it's close, you know, if they're all square after 14, that tie now is going to be down around even money and you'll be able to get out for a nice profit. So that's how you do it. So there's a 1x2 in effect. There's the two players and a tie for every match listed on the exchange, and the same on Bet365. Bet365 have two options. You can have the match markets without a tie or the match markets with a tie. Obviously, you'd want the ones with the tie. So hopefully that and other people are carrying in. You're back in the draw. Yes, that's it. So back to the outrights. Sorry, I had that doing this live on the spin. So Cantlay off the top players, I think, is the best value. You've then Zalatoris. He's progressed to the knockout stages here. I think he's a lot stronger than the rest of his group. I do think Fox is probably the opposition, but he's better this side of the Atlantic. As I say, Zalatoris quarterfinalist. I think if the wind blows in particular in the group stages, again, these are to trade. I'm looking to trade these golfers. I'm not saying they're going to win. I just think they're golfers that are good prices to trade. He's a good shot maker, Zalatoris, a fantastic iron player. And I think if the wind blows, it's a real plus for him against that group that he's got. You know, and obviously, if he gets through the group, his price is going to shorten up. So, depending on how the other ones go and who he's got in the next rounds. But I think he's got a reasonable path. So I like Zalatoris at 42. Fleetwood, who I mentioned, think he's playing great. I think he's playing really well. I mean, the question with Fleetwood is he just doesn't win enough. For as good a golfer as he is, he just doesn't win enough. And again, I'm not saying that he's going to win, but I think his one we saw last week was up there. I put him in the Dutch last week. I think he is somebody, again, that can trade well. He is a really, really good competitor. That's why I like him here. And this is one-on-one. I think he's going to be really tough to beat whoever he plays this week, the way he's playing. So I like Fleetwood, a good blue as well. Is he an Everton fan, Tommy Fleetwood? Is he really? I'll tell you a story about Tommy Fleetwood. A friend of mine, he's a friend of mine, played in the same Walker Cup team as him and was better than him. And he got on the tour. His name's Matt Haynes. He got on the tour. He won the Can Open, won about 100 grand. He had a deal with Nike, who doubled it. Whatever he won, if he won an event, they gave him it. So in effect, he won the Can Open, won 100 grand. He got 200 grand. Started spending his money on hookers, drugs and everything. And he's now given up the game. All the money's gone. Last I heard, he was a labourer on a brickyard. And I just wonder, I always think when I see Fleetwood, I think he must look at him and go, what could have been? The guy had won numerous top amateur events, got good financial backing and absolutely threw it away. Real absolute shame. And everybody around him was terrible. I remember meeting him in a pub once and I said, look, I'll help you. I'll even go out to places like Spain and, you know, caddy for you, do whatever you want just to get him away. Just got him with the wrong crowd, all the people around him sniffing after money. Absolute wankers. He just drugged it away. Hookers, the whole lot. They used to get what's those Hummer limos up to London and drink bottles of Cristal and that, taking all the boys up there and just mad. Anyway, that's getting off track. Just always feel a bit sad when I see that. But Fleetwood, I think it's a good chance. And Montgomery, not Colin Montgomery, Taylor Montgomery, 180. He's in Spieth's group. Spieth, as I said, can be anything. He could win all his three matches comfortably. I'm not sure that he will. Shane Lowry's been unconvincing this season. I thought he was showing glimmering of form, but Montgomery, the one thing he's got, he's a fantastic putter. And I think if he was in a couple of different groups, he'd probably be half this price to start. I think, again, we're seeing a bit of a overreaction to Spieth. I think Spieth is perfectly easily beatable. He is a gritty competitor, but he's prone to missing. As much as people talk about how good his putting is, he did it last week. He's prone to missing 5, 6, 7 footers, which you just can't do. And Montgomery, you know, those they kind of can go into it with a nothing to lose type attitude. So I think Montgomery at 180 is a really good trade. Again, you've got to bear in mind he's 180, so that's what the prices we're looking at. But I do think, you know, he opens up against Lowry. I think he's going to beat Lowry today. And then obviously we'll see how he goes from there. So they're the four players I like in the outright, again, to trade. So I've got multiple screens, click on the right one. So in summary, we will see outsiders win matches and progress this week. We've got the weather will play a factor, I think, in the first 2-3 days. You know, we're only taking forecasts. We'll get to see it this afternoon. But if it does get up to 25, 30 mile an hour, you know, you're going to see players getting frustrated. If they get a couple down, they've only got 18 holes. So the couple down, they've got to start forcing it, going for shots that they normally wouldn't in stroke play events. So that's where all this comes into play. 18 holes is vastly different to 72. You know, this is just literally you win or lose in one round of golf. So the cream has longer to rise to the top. The tie is not a bad bet to trade. It tends to get sort of just pushed to one side in these events because we're so used to focusing on winners and losers. Event experience and good current form may be key. I think in Cantlay, Fleetwood, even Zalatoris had a fourth a couple of weeks back. We've got that. And watch out for good putters. If we've got people who are putting well, there can be players to jump on. You know, so if you see somebody putt really well today, it might well be worth it looking who they're playing tomorrow, and you can get involved in match bets and things like that. I'm going to go back to Nikki's question now for the golf in general. it has become a big part of what I do, or more a big part of what I do personally. One, because you can get some decent money in, particularly in the 72-hour markets, without any real worries. And the way I trade golf, it's fairly safe. Yes, we have losers, but you can always even manage those losses. You know, you've got to learn how to be patient. I think the two things I take out of what I've seen in the group is you've got to be on the ball to get on when the prices come out. You know, yes, we are getting on a Friday morning and the market generally then isn't in play. Whilst it's in play, the players aren't playing. So it's kind of just sat there. There's not new money coming in reacting to the shots being played on course because we're in the downtime. You've got to keep an eye on it. And you've got to manage your position, but you've got to be patient. I think two people are so again, it's that focus on losing, or if I don't take the 25%, I'm going to lose. So I think last week there was a couple of times where 30% was available and I just sat on it. I believed strongly in the players I've picked, and I understand that you guys are going with my picks when we do that. But I felt strongly when we had a guy, I mean, we had first and third, I think, going into the Saturday. And the only reason that we weren't at 50% was because it was Spieth that was up there. Of all the top golfers in the world, Spieth's the one I want to be against because he can do anything. You know, if it's Scheffler up there, it's completely different because the guy is just almost robotic and he just doesn't tend to do anything wrong. But Spieth, you know, he's whacking it in the water one hole, he's pitching in for eagle the next hole. That's where you get the fluctuations in the market. So I was really happy just looking at that, seeing, well, I know that Spieth's going to give us an opportunity. It's absolutely nailed on. He'll give us an opportunity at some stage. So you start to learn the players' playing characteristics and how the market reacts to different players. I'm going to continue to post them. I think if you are going to do them, you don't need a massive bank. You know, it's not something, the most you can lose if you're just dutching for a point, that's the most you can lose. So I go back to sort of Mark's YouTube or interview that I did with him, Mark Holleran, when I first, and he said, if you get into the horses, do back to lay or lay to back. The first thing he knew was, he said, I did lay to back, but he knew that he was risking £10. That's it. Once you've got that, that's what you're risking. So I think you've just got to have a figure that you're going to risk. You have a clear idea of what profit you want to take. And I would recommend that you set a stop loss. If you want to, I tend to now, because I've built my bank up in golf, I tend to let the point go. And I'm quite happy if I lose a point because I'm confident that, you know, as I say, 70% the week before, 50%, I've now got all that money back from a bad one. We don't have that many bad ones. We have got the option to get out. Setting a hard and fast rule, yeah, 50% can be quite difficult. You know, if there's 48%, yes, I'm going to take it if it looks like it might not go my way. A lot of that depends on when that becomes available. If it becomes available late on, I'm going to take it because I've got less holes to get out of that situation if it goes wrong. As I say, on Friday, when I placed those bets this week, I was really confident that over that weekend, you know, right up to the back nine on Sunday, I was going to have an opportunity. But it's like all trading, it's a skill. You've got to learn the markets. It's like these with trading the tie. You've got to learn the markets, watch them. I think this is a great tournament for people just to watch and learn markets and watch prices as they move through this tournament. But we only get one a year, but you can store it up, your knowledge, for the Ryder Cup in September. But yeah, I don't think you need a massive bank. Genuinely, you know, 20, 30 points, we're not going to, it's impossible to lose 20. It means you've got to go, particularly if we're doing the Dutch, it means you've got to go 20 tournaments where you don't get an opportunity to trade any profit. And just be disciplined and stick to it. And I think, you know, you, the way I bet, if you want to do the pre-match stuff, so I do always put up pre-tournament interest. I don't always back them. You know, they're more players on my radar. Like Fleetwood's really on my radar currently because he's playing well. I do expect him to win soon. But I'm not going to back him in a 72-hole event pre-match for big money, knowing that he could go out and shoot 76 and I'm out the tournament. So when I mention them, I might have something small. So I'm going to back all those small today. Cantlay, Fleetwood, Zalatoris, Montgomery. My big bets come in the trades where I've got full control over what I'm doing. And I think that's what you want to do. So if you wanted to get involved pre-event, then I would say you need, you know, I take on some big prices, you know, 50 to 1, the market's given them a 2% chance. That's it. That's what the market's given them. There's a 98% chance going wrong. Even if I think I've got a bit of edge, there's still a 90 odd percent chance of it going wrong. So if you're going to do that, that's where you would need, you know, golf 100, 150 point bank and a lot of patience to back pre-event golf. You do need to be have a lot of patience in play. If you're going to get involved in the sort of trades I do, literally you don't need any more than 15, 20, 25 points, but you need to be disciplined and manage it. And it's like all trading then. I don't veer off. So once those four golfers are down, if they start playing badly, I don't think, oh, I'll back him to try and get some back. It's all that sort of stuff. You know, the more you guys learn to knock out the nonsense bets, the more chance you've got. Somebody commented in the Telegram group last night, was it Barnsley, Sheffield Wednesday? You know, God knows how much match 1.5. It is people just bored. You know, yeah, TV, but League One games are on TV all the time. It's just people. There's no football on. There's not much to trade. It's people just going on and lumping bets. And when they win, they think, oh, fantastic. But it's just dead off their plan. And you know, when I've asked for feedback from people this last couple of weeks, whilst we sort of plot ways through to help you guys, a lot of it I have said before, and I fully understand that. I can't just keep saying the same things day in, day out. It gets boring. It gets boring for me. But you've got, it's great to get actually, and I've got a plan. That's what I'm doing. And I've got the podcast and that. So at least I know that, and that's going on. Where I don't know it unless people tell me, but it was good to get that sort of feedback that actually I don't need to keep banging the stuff. It is on the site. Yes, we can get it in a better format. We can get it laid out better. But I can look to do stuff like this, you know, talking about completely different styles of trading, and help you. And hopefully that's where we go. Right. Any questions? Anything anybody wants to know? Thank you all for coming on at this late notice. I might even do the next couple of days just once we see it goes. You're welcome, Nikki. Absolute top leg, Nikki. Johnny, come lately. Better late than never. Morning, Johnny. Right, that's it then. I will leave you to it. The recording will be up. If you want to watch any of this back, it will go up straight away. I will do the audio on a... I'll publish the audio as a Bet Slip podcast. I'll download the audio and get that sorted over the next hour. And yes, I will be. I'm kind of conscious. I haven't been very active on FTS in the last couple of months. Obviously, I went away, and a lot of it's been to do with Sam's hip. But we are getting right through that now. As I say, it's the staples out the wound today. I expect that mobility has got better already over the last week, but they're causing her a lot of pain. I think once they come out, I'll get her out running the marathon, and I can get back to a normal life. I just feel the last 3 years have been a shambles with COVID, World Cup in the middle of the season, and Sam not walking. So I'm quite looking forward to the next 12 months of some normality. But I will, for all of you, as I say, do my best to help you. And this is a great game to trade. You know, it's a fantastic game to trade. Tony's put, will I be posting more trades over the next days? Yeah, I will have a look. I'll either jump on and do a quick YouTube after each round, or I will just post in the FTS Telegram group for the golf. If you haven't got that link, email support ftsincome.co.uk and they will send you the link. Certainly I'll have a look tomorrow morning, see what the weather's like tonight, and see what the you know, particularly if there's any ties that I like. You know, I do like that tie trade. So I will look at that and obviously keep an eye on the players I fancy. I won't be adding to my outrights. They're the four golfers that I like at the prices, at the outrights. It will be match bets and back in the tie and managing the position of those outrights. You know, obviously if all four get beat today, then I'm going to be in trouble, but they're only small bets. I'm only having a, you know, small money on those outrights with a view to trade. You know, when you're backing golfers at 50 and 180, you don't need to have fortunes on to get nice four-figure positions if you if things go right. Okay, thank you all for joining. I really appreciate you jumping on. Makes it all worthwhile. Some good chat. And I will, as I say, I'll publish this, the link, if you haven't seen it or you've missed it or you're Johnny, late, Tim, you can watch it back on YouTube pretty much immediately, I believe, on the thing. And I will post the audio as a bet slip over the next hour or so. And everybody else, I will be catching up with you over the next few weeks very soon. Cheers. See you soon.